It is 8:40, back with Rich and Ryan in the morning. And Ryan, we are now joined by Nan Just and Christine Sartor of 8 Friendly Northfield. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us today.
Do some adjusting.
Yeah, there we go. Sorry.
All right.
There we go. Like to get nice and close. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you for being here today. And for our listeners that may not be as familiar with Age Friendly Northfield, could you give us just a little quick description of what Age Friendly Northfield is?
Sure. I can give you a little primer. Age Friendly Northfield is an organization. We belong to a lot of communities who have joined the Age Friendly effort. We joined back in 2016 with the support of the city of Northfield, and a shout out to the city for supporting us. What Age Friendly is all about is looking at the community that you live in, trying to determine what kinds of support services, anything from healthcare to housing to socializing to transportation, all of those things that support older adults living in the community. And actually, I like to say that it really does look at things from 8 to 80, if you will, because a lot of things that are good for older adults are also good for younger families. So this organization took on doing a survey at the very beginning. And we surveyed 8 areas of livability. I won't list them all off, but included were housing, transportation, health and wellness, and community information were the 4 that we chose to engage with.
Sure.
After the survey. And transportation came up as a need in that survey. And has continued to come up as a need as we have gone around and done speaking engagements with other organizations within the community.
Right, which actually gives us a great
transition.
Thank you. I had the word transportation on my mind, and I couldn't get out of that. Transition to talking about transportation.
Yes.
Yes. So you are taking on, Age Friendly Northfield is taking on a very creative initiative to addressing transportation issues. Tell us more about that.
Well, what we did, we did another survey. We did a secondary survey after the primary survey and looked at the issues surrounding the support for older adults to live in the community longer. And one of the things that we learned is that transportation, again, came up in that particular survey. And about at the same time we were doing that, the city of Northfield also did, and I think it was specifically on transportation, they did a survey. It was more of a telephone, either call in or go online to finish it. And there were a couple other efforts in town that were looking at transportation. And what we discovered in all of that is people were looking for something that was flexible, that it was on demand, that it was local, and that it could get you easily from one place to another. And that led us down the path of taking a look at some communities, rural communities around the state, who had already set the parameters of looking at Lyft. And we engaged that individual up in St. Cloud to have more conversation about how they got it off the ground there, and learned through that process that actually Dakota County was one of the first counties that also looked at it. So our neighbors to the north here.
Because you said that it was specifically Waite Park, correct?
Yes, Waite Park is where the program called Connectability is. Mm-hmm. But they service quite a bit of the St. Cloud and further northwest area of the state.
Gotcha.
So, they've got options going there. And I think one of the things that was really nice about it is they really focused in on making it neighbor helping neighbor.
Sure.
In terms of identifying individuals who were needing transportation to get to a job, to get to medical appointments, and then identifying people within their own community who might have been just hanging out at a coffee shop. And ended up being very interested and intrigued when those conversations started coming up.
So as of right now, you're still in the exploratory phase of this program, correct? It's not actually up and running yet.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
But speaking of the criterion that you've identified as well as the overarching need, mm-hmm. what is this potentially going to look like once you hopefully will be able to get it up and running here?
Yeah. I think what it's going to look like is that we will... I'm going to back this up a little bit. We see this happening in several phases. First of
sure.
all, engaging the community just in the conversation about mm-hmm. what Lyft is and what it can do.
Okay.
We had a community meeting a week ago Tuesday at 50 North and had a nice little turnout and had some really good questions and answers that came out of that session. We have plans, hopefully, to approach... we're going to be approaching. We want to have a conversation with the city. We have several organizations on our transportation team, so mm-hmm. it's not like it's the two of us, mm-hmm. Christine and myself, doing this all by ourselves.
You're not just going to be driving around all day.
No. and so we've got both colleges on board. Mm-hmm. They are looking for additional transportation because some of the transportation they have begins, mm-hmm. you know, in the morning and then ends at 5:30 at the end of the day. So
sure.
they also are looking for a little transportation that's a little bit more flexible.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, the community engagement. We're going to have to do training around Lyft drivers, Lyft riders. And we're just having those discussions now.
Mm-hmm.
And Christine has offered.
Right. So we need to experience what it's like to become a Lyft driver if we're going to bring people on board to be drivers. Mm-hmm. There's a huge need for riders. There's a huge demand for riding.
Sure.
But we don't have any drivers yet. And so I've volunteered to be the first driver, and so I'm going to go through the process. And there is a background search, there's an application period, getting your vehicle inspected, and talking with your insurance provider. And Lyft does provide insurance protection while you're driving for Lyft, as mm-hmm. long as... You know, I would have my app on and I'm picking somebody up and delivering them. Lyft has a special insurance that covers that period of time. So it's double protected there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm volunteering to be the first one. And
nice. Very brave of you to do that.
Well,
it's never easy being the guinea pig.
The other thing is we initially started out wanting to see if students on campus could possibly be Lyft drivers because
sure.
the vehicles I see up there are pretty nice and I think they pass inspection.
Right.
But we discovered that the Minnesota rule for being a Lyft driver is you have to be 25, which excludes most students.
Yeah.
However, there is a huge need for riding from the students. So,
right.
you know, the more demand we have, the better, because mm-hmm. then Lyft has more incentive to be here in Northfield. And,
sure.
And we would have a, you know, a bigger program. So, as Nan said, 8 to 80 or and beyond.
Yes. Yeah.
So phrase might need to be increased in terms of the age. Yes.
So in an ideal world, we're looking at this program as essentially a network of Lyft drivers
mm-hmm.
who can help with transportation needs, not just for, well, primarily for age-friendly Northfield folks, but anybody else who might also be able to need to utilize this service, am I understanding correctly?
Yes, definitely. Okay. Yeah, this isn't going to be exclusively for anybody who's retired or, you know, or older. It can be for anybody who needs on demand.
Mm-hmm.
I think what, you know, the goals that we have here is when you have lack of transportation or transportation options, we don't mm-hmm. have lack of transportation. We do have options here in Northfield. I don't want to say that we don't. But the issue becomes that people really wanted something that was on demand, had increased flexibility in terms of timing. Mm-hmm. It could be spontaneous, or you could have it scheduled. Mm-hmm. And options that serve not just the city, but the surrounding community also.
Sure.
And yeah, that's our goal, is to get, again, we're going to go back and we're going to meet with a plethora of different mm-hmm. Agencies and people in the community.
Yeah.
We're looking at trying to meet with the hospital social work staff and figure out their input and the needs that they have. Talking to the city, probably mm-hmm. meeting with, eventually talking with the county also, because I think the comprehensive plan is coming due, and one of the things that they're looking at has also been the transportation issue.
So thinking of it as like a public ride sharing.
It could be. Yeah. It could be.
Could be. Yeah. There's still a lot of unknowns yet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
One thing I like about it, if there are any people out there who are interested in being drivers, is mm-hmm. that it is truly what Nan said, a neighbor to neighbor effort. Mm-hmm. And we can recruit, people can recruit drivers to become drivers mm-hmm. Based on who you know. Like, your neighbor could become a driver and exclusively drive you or all the neighbors or the people they know. And you don't have to drive for everybody in town. You can drive for...
I didn't realize that was part of the program. So you could have your personal Uber or Lyft, I should say Lyft driver.
Potentially, you could.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or like, you could have your neighborhood Lyft driver.
Your neighborhood Lyft driver.
Yeah. And that would be someone you would know, which would, I would think for a lot of people, it would be a little uncomfortable sometimes to get in the car with someone you'd never met before.
Right. Yeah. But we're also in Northfield. We're not in Chicago or New York.
Right.
So, So I think that is a really cool aspect of this whole program.
Yeah.
You want to have enough riders so that it would make it worth your while to become a driver, of course. But another idea that came up was that we could schedule, drivers could pick shifts so that we can have all the hours covered.
Yeah. Have days and times where it's like, hey, Rich is available on Saturdays from 4 to 6, or something like that. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And one of the stories mm-hmm. that we heard from, again, the folks up in northwestern Minnesota, or central Minnesota, I guess mm-hmm. I should say, is that they did a match. There was a young lady who could be employed by the local hardware store, mm-hmm. But she didn't have a ride to get there. She lived mm-hmm. in the town next door.
Sure.
So because the woman who was trying to help get this Lyft process off the ground knew mm-hmm. these people, both the lady who was needing the rides and the individuals that she thought could provide the rides, mm-hmm. Ended up recruiting and helping them get enrolled in Lyft. Mm-hmm. And from there, because this individual said, well, I can't be there, each morning and each evening to pick her up.
Right.
So he went and recruited another friend of his.
Okay. There you go.
And I think there ended up being three people. And they, as far as we know, they exclusively provide a ride to this young lady so she can go to the town next door, work at the hardware store, know that she's going to have consistent transportation, mm-hmm. And it has worked very well. And that, I think, points out the neighbor helping neighbor kind of model that we're hoping we can create here.
You know, it's so funny because I think sometimes we just really underestimate the importance of something so simple as transportation. Because, most mm-hmm. of us, we get up, we have our car available to mm-hmm. us, and we can just go wherever we need to go, do the things we need to do. And we don't even think about it. But for people who don't have that transportation, or, maybe they have some sort of other physical barrier or whatnot to not be able to transport themselves, it makes all the difference.
Yeah. Right.
I work up at the Northfield Retirement Community. Mm-hmm. And so most of the people up there do not even have vehicles.
Right.
And then there are all sorts of elderly people who are doing the aging from home part of it. And what I've learned is that one of the most detrimental things to elderly people is being alone.
Yes.
Isolated.
Yeah.
That, yes. And that is detrimental to their health.
Yeah.
And their mental health. And right. So that's one of the reasons that I'm really involved with this is because that is, it pulls at my heartstrings because I work up there and, it's just a very important thing to keep people healthy.
Yeah, just to, because, you know, some of these retirement communities, like, you know, they do a great job of trying to do what they can to provide entertainment and activities and things.
Absolutely.
But just to leave your surroundings, you know, just
it's important to leave.
Yeah. It becomes huge.
Yep. Meet with friends, socialize.
Yep. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Especially people who are in their house alone all day long, every day.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
Yeah, you got to get out and just to go to the local coffee shop for even just an hour
exactly.
or two. That's you have no idea how much of a difference that can make in someone's day.
Exactly.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so this will provide that for them.
Yeah.
I have a question about the meeting you had last week with certain people who were interested in this. You know, there's this there, and maybe it's a there's this school of thought, right? That folks who get older are a little bit less inclined to want to use technology, and to call a Lyft driver, you need the app. Is that right?
Correct.
Yes.
Yep. And generally, you have to put your picture in. Was there any trepidation in that meeting about having to figure out how to just call a Lyft driver?
That's a really good question. One of our next steps is we are putting together trainings for different things. And one of them is how to use the Lyft app. So we will have trainings. Probably some of them at 50 North for sure. And we'll have trainings for people to be drivers. We'll have trainings for people to be riders. Mm-hmm. So we're identifying that right now.
Cool.
Yes. There that's a go. Really good question.
Yeah.
It comes up because at our meeting last week, I had all of our handouts and information with a QR code. And found out that's probably not going to work with the elderly.
Yeah.
Although we're talking about having QR trainings now at 50 North. So,
I mean, why not? You know, because I, correct me if I'm wrong here, but with Lyft, everything's done through, like, there is no number to call, I don't think.
No.
Like, no.
You have to do it through the app.
Through the app.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and part of that has to do with the safety features, too.
Yep.
You know, just making sure that people's personal information isn't just out in cyberspace.
Right.
But the app actually provides some security. So that is part and parcel of that. But yeah, those trainings, I think, are going to be very important. And we are in the process of self-discovery, self-education,
right.
Pulled off a lot of information off the net. But I think there's nothing that replaces that. If you have gone through the process, like Christine is planning to, you are going to be able to identify a lot of important issues to address and be open to the questions that people have about what is it like to become a driver. And I think, we also are in the process of working with the Southern Minnesota paper, the old Northfield News. His name's Colton, I believe.
Yep.
Colton was actually talking about wanting to find a Lyft driver and actually taking a ride and being able to describe that for people who would be interested in becoming riders. So I forgot to mention that in our meeting yesterday, but so we've got a lot of things in the works, and it's a matter of making sure that we address people's questions and dig and find the answers ourselves. So
if folks would like to learn more about this program and where it's at and its development, can they reach out to you or to Age Friendly in general, or where would they go?
Well, right now I will leave people with my Gmail address.
Okay.
We'll see if I get overwhelmed, but at this point, there is there's a group of us. I'm not sure how to get all of that information out because a couple of them are from the college.
Christina, I have a QR code for that.
There you go.
Anyway, if people are interested in getting more information, certainly they can send me an email, and that would be to Nan Just, and the email address is JUSTZYX1@gmail.com.
All and right. You can Google age-friendly Northfield, too.
And just kind of stay tuned, see what they post about it on the website.
Right.
Okay.
We're posting more and more stuff recently, and I think next week we'll have more stuff on there where people can connect with us, and certainly our contact information.
Okay. Great.
So if anybody out there wants to be a rider or a driver, please contact us.
Yeah. That's excellent.
That's fantastic.
Thank you so much for being here. This was such a great thing to learn about. You know, I just love it. Like I said earlier, I'm like, I love it when you take something that's already existing and find it to address an issue that nobody would have thought about before, you know?
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, Dakota County is doing it right now, and they've had great success. Yeah. And if they can do it, we can do it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. If they can do it, Dakota County, of course.
Anything they can do, we can do.
Yeah. The competition is on. All right.
There you
just
go.
Oh, yeah. Please keep us up to date on this.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think we're really interested to see how this goes.
Yes. Right, especially as the program takes more. Please, we would love to hear more as it takes off more and gets more solidified.
All right. Yeah. We can send you things periodically.
Please do.
I've got your email address. So I don't think I have yours, Ryan. But
it's just ryan@kymnradio.net.
Okay.
There you go.
You heard it here, folks. ryan@kymnradio.net.
Yes. Yes. Thank you both so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, folks, that's going to